today I'm in conversation with Liam. Liam Shea from the National Thursday Club, who is a National Outreach Manager. And Liam's going to talk to us today about what the National Thursday Club is and their performance theatre and screen strands. Thank you so much for joining us, Liam. It's lovely to have you with us. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to be with you too.
So do you want to give us a little bit of background maybe about yourself, how you've ended up at the National Thursday Club, how you've ended up being a National Outreach Manager, or just don't dive straight into about National Thursday Club, whatever you prefer. Give us a bit of a flavour.
So I am a theatre educator. I've worked in theatre for around 20 years now, which is scary. I've worked for Shakespeare's Globe, I've worked at the Kiln Theatre, where I was Creative Engagement Director, and I've worked at the Orange Tree Theatre, where I was also Creative Engagement Director. And my role there was about bringing communities into theatre who hadn't experienced theatre before, or weren't experiencing theatre, or weren't engaging with the theatre. And that's always been my love, really, is bringing people in and enabling people to access the arts who don't normally access the arts, which sort of led me on to them working with the National Saturday Club, because the National Saturday Club does that on a really grand scale across the country. And we work with cultural institutions and higher education and further education institutions to link young people, 13 to 16 year olds, with them so that they can experience a taste of what it's like to be involved in the industries or learning within the industries that they wouldn't normally get within the school confinements.
And what kind of numbers do you have across the country of young people that are accessing it? Do you know?
Yeah, so we're working with around 2,000 young people at the moment. We've had around 2,000 applicants, and that's expanding. We're expanding because we've got around 110 clubs at the moment, and that's increasing on year on year, and more people are coming to take part in it. It's a growing thing, which is really exciting because when we have to, so what we arrange as an organisation is a sort of programme around the week to week, usually around 30 week delivery programme is delivered by the cultural institution or the higher education institution, our partners. And what we offer around that is a programme of exciting enhancements. So the young people come to London and they feel part of a big organisation. They get to see other students' work. Their work is displayed for them. So they have an exhibition of their self-portraits. And then they go to a cultural institution in London and they have a London visit experience, somewhere they wouldn't have normally gone to or be able to go to very easily. And then we have a masterclass with... they have a masterclass with an industry professional who comes into their school, to their class and works with them. And then they also have an exhibition at Somerset House in London, which is where like most artists and lots of creative people would really want to be displaying their work. But it's a gorgeous exhibition in the summer and they come down to see that show and they graduate from the National Saturday Club.
Oh, that's amazing. And how what's the cost? Like, what's the kind of financial implication for people?
Well, that's where it's really important. It's absolutely free. Because there are obviously lots of drama schools or lots of drama clubs happening, but often there's a cost attached. And I think you and I know that the industry of both film and screen and performance and theatre is increasingly becoming unpenetrable for people from different backgrounds or that people are from lower social economic backgrounds. So actually what we find really important is we need to start at an earlier age and let young people know this is for you. You have a right to be part of this and you can access this. Because often you're finding that young people who go to paid for schools or private schools are accessing sort of a whole world, a range of equipment and tutors who have access, and then that's why if you have the money you're on a roll already. But if you don't have that money or you don't understand that this could be for you, for many reasons, for cultural reasons, for just not seeing your face in the industry or in those roles, this is a chance for us to get those young people between 13 to 16 who have a little inkling of this might be something I want to do, and come along and taste it and enjoy it.
So important, isn't it? You often hear the phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And often who you know is because of the privilege of the access that you've had to who you've known, that's then given you the step up or the road in that you need.
Absolutely. It's so true. And it's also just, I think that's definitely the case in theatre and definitely the case in film. It's always about making those connections and that network. And when you think that both industries are predominantly white, middle upper class people rolling into those roles, and you look at lots of the big stars now who are from those backgrounds, and you think, well, it's because you talk a certain language and you know a certain route to get there. You went to Footlights at Cambridge. So it's like those things where people have those things that are readily available to them, that actually we need to level the playing field by enabling young people to access a route to knowing what you can do behind a camera or in front of a camera, and just giving them the things that they aren't getting in school, because school only has the capacity to deliver what's in the curriculum. And that sometimes is, I can understand, would be really frustrating for teachers when they have students who don't fit the mold of school, but just need that little bit more.
Yeah, and often giving them that little bit more might be, you know, sending them to a Saturday school or sending them to something outside of school or giving them a different curriculum pathway like Arts Award or whatever it may be. But they always come, well, normally they come with a cost. And then you've got a barrier there. And it's kind of like that vicious circle, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other barrier is often who's teaching it. And we try to make sure that our tutors are really knowledgeable about the young people who are coming in and or who's in that group. So it's about creating a space, a safe space for them to feel that they can experiment. There's no pressure. There's no exams at the end. There's no massive performance at the end. It's all about the work that comes from them.
And just learning organically.
Absolutely. With the equipment that you wouldn't normally be able to.
You said that there's 110 clubs. Of all of those 110 clubs, will they all have the performance theatre screen strand?
No, they don't. So we have art and design. This is a test now. I feel like I'm naming the Seven Dwarfs. Art and design, society and change, writing and talking, science and engineering, performance and theatre and film and screen, and craft and
make. Yay!
So it's like lots of industries where we can see that there are barriers for people getting involved in them. I mean, for example, I have ADHD, and I found that school wasn't the right space for me in some ways to learn. I was a clever kid, but at the same time, I couldn't learn in the same way that the rate that students were learning. So I just needed that drama on a Saturday morning to just go, do you know what? Life isn't exactly like school all the time, and life is a little bit different, and you can learn in different ways. And that's not to say that school is a negative learning space. It's just that with the restrictions that teachers have within the curriculum, or with the restrictions and the capabilities, especially with equipment as well within schools, it's just a breathing space for that young person to learn differently amongst different people, which I think sometimes is really important as well.
Well, it gives you a better understanding of the world, isn't it? You know, who are these different people I'm going to come into contact with? It's funny when you think about it, it's only at school do you only associate with people born within 1 year of your age. You know, it's not like we've started our conversation this morning, I've gone, and what year are you in?
You know? Yes, no, it's so true. I mean, like, generally it's true, isn't it? That's sort of the weird thing, isn't it? And that thing of you only meet people within that age, within your area, and then it's so important to realize at that age that the world is bigger than the 30 people you sit within a class. They are not the only people that are going to define you as a person. So it's kind of, if it's a great place to come and experiment. What's been gorgeous about some of the groups I've seen is the bond they build by the end, by the time they're going to graduate, and they've made lifelong friends. But also what I've loved the most is the style. They are from completely different styles. I've seen goths graduating and then giving a big hug to someone who's all in pink. It's like actually the space to learn and space to be individual, I think is also another thing that I think is really important.
Yeah, definitely. And so you said about the 110 clubs that you've got, and kind of, are you spread all over the UK, or are you predominantly England? Are you in Scotland and Wales?
We are going to have one in Scotland. We are going to have one in Northern Ireland. We have one club in Wales, but we're looking to have more. So we are spreading slowly, taking over the world. we are spreading across, we've got lots in the northwest. We're increasing clubs in the northeast. We have clubs in the south of England. We have Falmouth, we have Portsmouth, Plymouth, we have colleagues Gar in Wales. So we are slowly growing. It would be really great if a young person eventually knows that there's a Saturday club. It starts on Saturday. It's ready for them. It's there. They've got their local Saturday club for free, where they can be part of something that's national and bigger. Mm. And then they display their work at Somerset House, where industry professionals come and see their work.
Mm. I'm just having a look actually on the map. I'm just looking at the National Saturday Club website. And I grew up on the Isle of Man. From when I was 3 to when I was 11, had my primary schooling there. And then when I was in the UK, until I went to university and obviously moved to the southeast, I lived in Herefordshire. And although I had access to things, and I had a privilege in that way, because my parents were able to, you know, take me to Bristol, take me to London to provide me that access, I often think about kind of rural deprivation when I talk about, you know, young people's access to things. And I just clicked, and I couldn't believe to see that you've got Artreach Studios in Peel on the Isle of Man. I was like, yes, that's brilliant. You know, there's actually a provision, because often you would look at things, you know, when I was a child, you know, and you couldn't access certain television channels. I mean, we are talking in the early 90s, you know, it's a bit different. But there were things that you just couldn't access there, because although we were part of Great Britain, there was things that you couldn't tap into in quite the same way that other young people could. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know, do you? So I suppose when I was young, it didn't really bother me. But now when I look back, I think, oh, I never had a McDonald's. You know, we didn't have a McDonald's. Yeah. So to see that there's an Artreach Studios over there is brilliant.
And I agree. It's actually really fascinating, and fascinating how far young people travel to get access to things as well. And I think we do really care about making sure that it works within rural communities. We're making sure that we are recruiting through lots of different routes. So we're looking at, we advertise through doctors' surgeries, housing associations, local councils. We try to reach as many people as possible to let us know, but the biggest part of recruitment we found is the easiest and also the most successful way is by getting teachers on board who are part of who want to connect with us and want to nominate students to us. So any teachers listening, actually, please come and be part of our network and let us know, because year on year it's amazing when we have teachers who nominate 5 students, who, because they know the students the best, so they'll know the students who need that little bit more, need that little nudge, may not be the best at drama or performance, or be the best at film and screen, but let's face it, who is at 13 to 16? Who knows exactly where they need to be? So the ones who are maybe just in need of a little bit of support in some ways, and nominating them to us, we found that the most successful and most useful way of finding the students who need it.
And how do you do that? This is your opportunity. What's the website, or what social media do they need to access? Do they sign up to a newsletter? How do they nominate those students? What do they do, Lee?
So we are starting a teachers advisory panel, a group. So that will be a small group of say 12 teachers that we are going to talk to, and it will be part of us, and have a couple of meetings per year. We'll offer CPD to them as well, as being part of our smaller network, our smaller sort of group. And they'll be invited to our previews shows as well. And then the larger network is a network of teachers. We're hoping to reach out to teachers and signing up to our newsletter, which will give them access to workshop videos, lesson plans, things that we have access to from some of the artists that we're working with, so we can get those artists to then film. And then, so we've been working with like the National Theatre, we've been working with the Barbican, we work with various theatres, and in terms of film, we're working with ITV studios. So if we can get those sort of little videos and in our newsletter and information in our newsletter, teachers can access it through that and then forward it onto their students. That's the idea, that they get to know and they get to sort of say, this is actually good quality stuff, you should have a look at this. So that's the idea, and that's what we're hoping to do, is get teachers signing up to that network and that newsletter so that we can sort of filter that information that way.
Great, and I'll drop a link into Spotify, so when people are listening to the podcast, they'll get the link there to how to sign up to the newsletter. When you were talking earlier, you were talking about the sort of cultural institution and, you know, the access, and you were talking mainly obviously about the art and design, and you talked about the partners and the masterclasses. Is it the same structure for the performance element, performance and theatre as well?
Yes, it is, yes. So we are running a performance and theatre. We're running a performance and theatre club with St Mary's in Twickenham, and with Gateshead College, and with Bradford College. Sorry, you're testing me now, so I can remember them all. But actually, so the great thing about those is as well, so just say, for example, for Gateshead, it's a really good opportunity for young people to not only just take part and work with tutors from the college, but also it's an idea of seeing what the life of college is like. It's like, actually, I might want to go to college and study, I don't know, economics or something, but I don't know, I've never been in that environment. My family haven't gone on to further or higher education. I don't know what that feels like. Does it feel like school? And actually, it's a really good opportunity, even if you don't plan to go on to work in theatre or film, or you just like the idea of doing that on a Saturday, it's a chance to get a feeling of what those buildings are like and demystify those buildings a bit. Because if we've been going to the same building for like 6 years of our lives, and seven, no, five years of our life, sorry, then you're kind of used to just going there, aren't you? And anything else is really intimidating and smells different and feels different. And it's like, it's just a nice way of testing out what it can be like to work in a different environment.
The food might be less beige in a different environment, though. You know, the food that you have at school in that the box with a panini, it's very beige.
I love that, though. I miss school dinners. I love a good, like, I love, like,
bangers and mash. It's funny that you should mention about sort of Saturday and getting involved in things, and whether you feel like it's going to be a career progression or a career pathway for you. Because it's, you know, people, when they get up on a Saturday morning, they go and play at a football club or they go to ballet and tap. You know, kids don't think, well, they might do, some of them do, I'm going to be the next footballer, I'm going to be the next Darcy Bustle. But, you know, we accept sport as an outlet to just for enjoyment. And it's funny, isn't it, that when people think about performance and theatre and going and getting involved in these things, a lot of people say, oh, you know, can you see yourself having a career in that? But people don't ask that if a kid's just playing Saturday morning football.
No, exactly. And you know, and I don't have to tell any of the teachers listening, like, the skills that theatre gives you, empathy, teamwork, just basic things like eye contact, that young people can find really hard, and socialising with other young people, public speaking, student voice. All those things are really key things you can get from performance and theatre. And then looking at the film and screen side of it, film is so important for work now. Actually, any job, well, most jobs will now have to make a short film in something, or if you wanted to work in a company, that they might have to make films. If you think about the way the world is moving with ChatGPT and kind of, and lots of stuff is being done for us. So actually, we're getting to a point where creativity is so important that actually, computers can't be as directly creative as we ever can be. So in terms of film and screen and the skills you can learn and the equipment you can learn to use, and the artistry, actually, of all of our subjects, it's actually really giving vital life important things for work. Because, yeah, we're moving into a world where AI is taking over, and we need to think about less about the very direct things that Google can answer.
But yeah, you just that sort of this transferable skills that you'll learn, you know, getting, you know, I remember when older family members would get an iPhone and they'd actually read all of the menu options and read all of the manual, and I'd just be like, just play with it, just see what happens. They'd be like, you know, and I've always been like that, but probably because of the generation I've grown up in. But then I look at my students now, where I'm, you know, they're half my age, which is a scary thought, and I'm going to get the manual out for the latest thing that we might have bought for the drama studio, and they're like, oh, just fiddle with it, miss. I'm like,
it's like teachers. Do you remember when teachers used to pull out the telly and they get the telly
in
and
they're
working, and it hasn't changed? That's the scary thing, is like, just the technology has changed, but we are still like you and I this morning when we first said hello, we had our mute on. It's like kids would be laughing at us because we're like, we're not getting, it hasn't changed. We're still slightly out of touch of what they can do. And that's the great thing, is that actually we need to listen to them. They have voices. They know what they're doing. We need to give them the opportunity to lead a little bit more sometimes. And the world's going to be theirs. The world's going to be theirs in a few years time. And like, look, we could bloody do with listening to them a lot more, couldn't we? Like climate, war, like, their opinions and they and what they need to say to us is really vital. I mean, we look at things like, obviously in London, like knife crime, and what's the answer to knife crime? Like more police on the streets, more, like, give them things to do, give them all more things to do. Let's listen to them, let's give them a voice so we understand what's angering them, what's going on. Like, we need to really give, like, we need to have spaces where we are giving young people,
facilitate that.
And obviously after the bonfire of the youth services, like, there's so little like that has been picked up or really talked about, and I think this is where we need to really think about what young people are doing outside of the classroom.
Yeah, and when they are, you know, told to go to the classroom, what do they do for themselves when they make their own choices? Yeah. And how do we facilitate those choices? I always laugh and joke when people say things like, Miss, you planned this amazing lesson. Miss, you did this. You know, and they talk about all these things that they've really enjoyed. And they go, it's great, Miss. And I go, yeah, that's because you're going to pay my pension.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll give you everything I know now. And then later on, I'll reap the benefits because there'll be money going back in the system.
Definitely. Exactly. Totally right.
Thinking about what you were saying about the different cultural institutions that you engage with, yes, we're a network for drama teachers, but also for theatre educators. We've got champions that work at different theatres or have a connection to theatres in Northampton, for example, at Derngate. We've got quite a good connection with the Mayflower in Southampton. If they're listening, which they may well be, how did they get involved if they wanted to offer, you know, a performance theatre screen strand maybe at their venues? What's the pathway for them?
If anyone wants to get in contact with us, please do give us a call. We'd be really up for and really interested in having those conversations because, and I think what they can benefit from us is that we offer a national network. A national network, tutors, there are tutors meetings and tutors forums where they come together. We also offer the national programme, which is the London visit, the masterclass with an industry professional, and the summer show as well. So there's like, which is on a grand scale, it's Somerset House, it's a massive exhibition and just a really gorgeous thing in front of industry professionals. It's a really gorgeous thing for them to be part of. But yeah, if we would be really interested in connecting with theatres and working with them. But I think also thinking about things in a different way, because I think lots of theatres already, I mean, I've obviously worked in theatre creative engagement, so I understand that most theatres tend to have their own youth theatres, which are paid or not paid. But a Saturday club, a theatre could be concentrating on set or lighting or stage management. And I think some of those parts of theatre are things that we often forget and or don't really let young people understand. When you talk about theatre to a young person, automatically it's like, oh, I'll be acting. It's like, not necessarily. You might not be an actor, but you're a great organiser, so you'd be a great stage manager. So how people can experience theatre without necessarily being or film without necessarily being the person in front of the camera. So it's about learning about those different roles within. So I think for looking at some of those cultural institutions, what's great is that often they'll have their own education program, but this could support something that's looking at it things from a different angle.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic, and I'm sure that only strengthens the provision that they're already giving, with an additional wider platform to it. How are you funded, or how do you function? You know, if obviously the young people aren't expected to contribute, are you through Arts Council, or are you a charity? Like, how does that work?
We do. We have multiple funders. We are funded by the Arts Council. We are funded by the Department for Culture, Media, Sport. Our film programme is supported by the British Film Institute. Our theatre and performance programme is supported by the Claude Duffield Foundation. So actually, when you look at some of the partners that we have who are funding those programmes as well, that's another sort of... that should be another carrot for anyone wanting to take part, because if you're taking part in a programme run by the British Film Institute, that's great. I mean, that's the quality stamp that we're getting. So I think those are more reasons to take part. But yeah, we're grateful to have the funding that we're getting at the moment. And I think that's where obviously theatres and especially when the Arts Council funding is not as rich as it was, where we can work together to sort of bolster that work and co-collaborating and working together with these organisations to create some of these clubs, I think would strengthen us both together.
Are you an NPO, a National Portfolio Organisation?
No, we're not, no.
And do you do anything through the National Saturday Club that links back to the school in any way? So, you know, can they do an arts award, or do you sign? I realize you're not actually on the ground necessarily every Saturday at the different venues, but can they, you know, if they're studying, they're doing their Duke of Edinburgh at school, can they use their National Saturday Club for their hours? Or do you know of any sort of case studies or anything like that that's happened?
Well, I can't remember what the drop down thing is for UCAS, but I think we're on there now, so I think actually just taking part in a Saturday club is good enough, that you can talk about the fact you've committed to something across that period that you have created. So for some students, the craft and design course, they'll have created it, that they make their own stools. They make wooden stools. But for the film and screen, they'll make their own films. They make their own short films. Some of these things, and the showing the commitment and the time commitment, the fact you've exhibited your work twice, you'll have exhibited your self-portrait, you'll exhibit your end product. Those are really, really important things to put on your UCAS form as well, I think. And linking with schools, I mean, we are trying to link more with arts smart schools, but obviously not just arts smart schools. We want to work with all schools. And yeah, so I think that in itself is really important.
It's lovely that they get the opportunity through the National Saturday Club to actually create a portfolio, essentially, because that's often what we're asked as drama teachers, art and design teachers, dance teachers. You know, can you help me collate this information? I have to take it to interview, or I have to showcase this. I have to have this. And, you know, if they're accessing, you know, they're doing it by default by going to the National Saturday Club and putting these things together through the programme. So that's really great.
And there are other things as well, like actually, so for teachers as well, this is why we want to create this teachers advisory group. And we also want to create this teachers network, is we want to listen to you and we want to know how we can support the curriculum. So if there are things that are particularly hard, how can we help? Because if we're learning things in a much more less structured environment, less curriculum based environment, are there things and key things that we could help you deliver as well? Is there any of our work that could translate back into the classroom for you guys? Or so it'd be really exactly. And CPD for teachers as well, like offering opportunities for them to work with industry professionals. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you want, what you would benefit from, and how we can help you get there.
And how do they tell you that? Is there an email address that they could email you on, or?
Liam at Saturday-Saturday.com. club.org.
Brilliant. Okay. I'll make sure that's written in the info as well.
Thank you.
The other thing I was just thinking while you were talking about, you know, they get the opportunity to kind of be guided to structure this portfolio. They can drop down on the UCAS. I'm naturally thinking like a teacher. But then I'm also thinking about some of my friends and various people in the community where they choose to homeschool their children. So I'm just thinking what a nice opportunity as well to go to, you know, the National Saturday Club and engage in those things. And presumably you could go to an art and design one, you could go to a performance theatre screen. You don't just have to go to one, although they all run on a Saturday, so they're all at the same time, presumably.
Yeah, they all run at the same time, so that's clearly the problem.
You'll have to choose your pathway.
Sadly, you will. But at the same time, like, if you want to swap, there's always room to swap. Or if you want to do one year and apply for another year, it's all about how you apply and when you get on, really. So we've had some students who have lived in an area where there are multiple clubs and have swapped clubs around that time as well. But obviously for us, the key thing is that we really want to make sure that we're getting students who will benefit the most from it. And we do reach out to homeschoolers, actually. And that's a real key thing for us, because it's such a good opportunity for... the key thing is homeschoolers. I also think parents must need a break. They must need a break, actually, and a Saturday morning is a nice break to have.
I wonder how many people started to feel differently about homeschooling their kids, as in the general public, after COVID. They're like, oh, how do they do this all the time?
Yes, I'm sure. Exactly. Like, yeah, you must just want a little bit of a break sometimes. But also the fact of, like... that it just gives them another environment to socialize with different people and test out socializing with different people that they wouldn't have normally experienced as well. And also the equipment. I think for some parents who are homeschooling, they don't receive necessarily the same equipment that schools have, so it's a good opportunity for those young people to do a bit of that as well.
Absolutely. What great opportunity. I presume it's term time only.
Yes. Each club runs differently, so each club will run within its own times, but it's mostly just term time only.
Oh, brilliant. And you were talking about Somerset House and the exhibition. Is that for all of the art forms?
Yes, all the art forms are exhibited in different ways. So it's thinking creatively how to exhibit. But it's they are all exhibited there. So it's just such a gorgeous weekend. It's so lovely. There's just loads and loads of young people walking around. They're all excited because they've just also graduated as well. And parents come to see them graduate, and some teachers come to see them graduate. And it's just a lovely moment to just go, you're brilliant, and this is great. And then they see their work, and it's just lovely.
Liam, you're brilliant and you've been great, and it's been really lovely. It's been lovely to talk to you this morning.
No, you're brilliant and you're great.
Well, the National Saturday Club is brilliant and great as well. And I think it's really lovely to kind of have this conversation out there, because I know for sure there'll be so many teachers that will not know about it. And, you know, I'm hoping they're going to listen to this episode and go, oh, how did I not know about this before? And they'll be emailing you, and they'll be subscribing to that newsletter, and they'll be on the website, and they'll be filtering their area and seeing what clubs are offered. So thank you so much for giving up your time, especially when you're in R&D for your latest project that you're working on as well. So good luck with that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no, it's lovely. It's been a pleasure, a real pleasure chatting to you. And yeah, anyone wants to come chat to me, just give me a call. I'll come and have a chat with you. I'm always up for a coffee.
Yeah. Or you could buy us a coffee.
You could buy me a coffee, that would be
good. Yeah. Oh, thanks very much, Liam.